Hey everybody, thanks for tuning in to our weekly podcast here at First United Methodist Church, Murfreesboro. I'm Trey Carey, the lead pastor of Modern Worship. We hope this week's message connects with you and helps you connect with God. If you'd like more information about how to get connected at FUMC, you can visit our website, fumcm.org, or you can check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at FUMCBoro. We also hope you'll consider joining us at one of our four weekly worship services at 8:30 and 11 a.m. on Sundays, both in the sanctuary and in the Family Life Center. First United Methodist Church is a warm and welcoming community of people committed to the idea of growing disciples of Jesus Christ who know Him, love Him, and serve Him. We hope this week's message helps you in your own personal journey towards knowing, loving, and serving Christ in your life.
Will you pray with me? God, we need you this morning. We need you in our lives, and we need you in our prayers and our actions. Open us up this morning to hear your word that we might come to live lives as people who need you deeply. It's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen. Last week, Trey kicked off a series for us with his sermon on the transfiguration of Jesus on the mountaintop, where the disciples gathered around and they saw Jesus during that experience in a new light. We're going to continue that series called In a New Light as we move throughout the Lenten season. And our hope is that just as Trey talked about last week, where we come to see maybe it's people or the church, but especially Christ in that new light, that we are invited into this new way of being. So we're going to continue that this morning as we begin to talk about the Lenten season and the places that will take us. And we hope that this will be a space and a time for us to really draw into what this season means and to learn some of those things that Trey talked about last week, not only the transfiguration, but those themes that keep happening from there, these themes of transformation within ourselves, and also this transportation, not only this inner working, but that there's an outer working that God's calling us to. So I hope you'll keep those themes in mind as we walk through this Lenten season together. Especially, I want to lift up these themes that Trey talked about last week, about the significance of the place and the time. He talked about that in regards to the mountaintop that the disciples found themselves on there, and this transition from what we call ordinary time or epiphany into this season of Lent. Trey gave us a couple words to remember for each of those. There was, coming from the Greek, this idea of kora, that it's just the space that we find ourselves in, that's just a place on the map. We might find ourselves today at West Thompson Road in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, but that's not really the deeper meaning of this space that we're in this morning. There's this word topos that gets at that deeper significance. This morning I talked about Chrislyn might find herself in a topos kind of space if she was watching a Cubs game there at their home stadium. I know for our family, Caroline's favorite place in the world is the family farm. That's where we got married, and it's her favorite place in the world. And to be in that space is more than just being in Pall Mall, Tennessee. It's being in the presence of this place where her family has been for generations. There's a lot of significance there. The same thing goes for time. There's this idea of chronos, which is just, hey, it's 11 a.m. on a Sunday morning, but we know that there's a deeper significance of time, and that's what we call kairos. And that's this idea that the time we find ourselves in, there's a deep meaning to it. It's not just 11 a.m. It's time for worship. It's time to be together in community. And it's time to put ourselves before God and open ourselves up to how the Spirit will move. So I hope you'll remember this idea of space and time as we move throughout this series. Because one of the most important things about Lent to myself is this idea of being on a journey. The title for today's sermon is Giving Up. And I thought of this because it's one of those traditions that is associated with Lent. And to me, it's something that is going to connect to how I experience Lent on this journey. This journey from Jesus' baptism, moving on through Jesus' ministry, and eventually ending up at the cross in Jerusalem. Lenten season has developed out of the tradition of preparing these initiates into the Christian faith, these catechumens, as they were called, who are learning all about faith and what it means to live a life of faith. They would prepare all the way through the 40 days of Lent and then eventually be baptized at Easter in the early church. And so our traditions today surround that and have grown out of that. I know we have confirmands that are coming to confirmation lessons every Sunday. They're learning about their faith, and then some of them even will be baptized during this Lenten season as we move towards the cross and move towards Easter. So I just want us to remember that journey and along the way, to think about the different places and times that we find ourselves in Scripture, and but also in our own lives as we move towards Easter. Now, to this tradition of giving something up for Lent, have you ever been asked that? What are you giving up for Lent this year? I don't know if that's a tradition that you've participated in, but it's one that is very common. Oftentimes, people will say, I'm giving up Facebook for Lent this year. I'm giving up chocolate. There's a lot of the usual suspects when it comes to what we give up. Maybe it's taking something on. Maybe we say, I'm going to take on exercising more often as a bodily practice, and I'll combine that with prayer for the spiritual side of things. Maybe it's I'm just going to do just that, is pray more during the season of Lent. The tradition that these grew out of is tied to that preparation of the Christian initiates for baptism. It was a time for them to take on spiritual practices. It's described in the Bible by Paul as almost as an athletic training, but of the Spirit in this time of preparation. And so, as we are going through this season, maybe you've got something that you've already decided to give up for Lent. I know for myself, as I've thought about that, it kind of puts you in a place where you're really self-evaluating, looking at your life and looking into your spiritual well-being, which is where it's supposed to put us. And I know that that can sometimes drag up some emotions in us. And this year for Lent, when I was asked for Lent, I'm giving up, and I was thinking for Lent, I'm giving up, I just thought for Lent, I'm giving up. I thought there's so much going on right now in my life. I just want to give up. I just want to maybe crawl under a blanket somewhere where nobody can bother me and have a little rest, because, I mean, between what it seems like there's been going on in the church, going on with our government, going on all over the place with family and friends, there's been relationships that I've needed to tend to, I lost an hour of sleep last night. I don't know if anybody's in the same boat as me, but I lost an hour of sleep. It's a lot, and I thought, man, I'm ready to give up for Lent. Well, Hopefully this morning I'll have a more encouraging message. We're not going to end there. Hopefully we'll push you through, and we'll come to a place where we think of giving up as something that's not just a burden on our lives, but something that we need in our lives, and that will actually give us energy and comfort as we move through this Lenten season. One of the places I found, this is a scripture that is often read during the Lenten season. It's usually one of the very first things people hear during this Lenten season, is the scripture of Jesus facing the temptations in the wilderness. And as I was reading through that, I had this idea of what we give up for Lent in mind. I'm going to go through this. I'm going to walk through it with y'all. I've highlighted some of the places where I see this theme coming through, but also those themes that I talked about of place and time. So I want us to be conscious of all that as we're going through this. The scripture comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, and it's verses 1 through 13. It goes, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. So we begin this scripture noting that Jesus was returning from the Jordan. This is the river where Jesus was baptized. So right at the start, we see that connection to baptism and Lent, and also the 40 days that he spent in the wilderness is where this tradition of Lent being a 40-day season has developed, where we retreat for a while to prepare ourselves to take on these spiritual disciplines, just as giving something up for Lent is supposed to be a spiritual discipline, where we are able to retreat to this place, and oftentimes it can leave us feeling a little famished, but ultimately I think as we go through the story we'll see that there's something deeper happening there. As we continue, it says, the devil came to Jesus, and he said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread. Jesus answered the devil, it is written, one does not live by bread alone. In this first temptation that the devil throws at Jesus in the wilderness, we see a pattern that'll go through the next two as well, where the devil comes to Jesus and asks him to do a particular task. There's something that is being tempted there. And I'll run through all three of those in a moment, but I want to see this pattern because it happens in all three, that the devil will appear during one of these 40 days of Lent and say, I want you to do this, and this is the reward you'll get. Here it's hey, you'll have something in your belly. I know you're famished. This is something that I know you want. All you have to do is command the stone. But Jesus instead turns to Scripture and says, one does not live by bread alone. All these scriptures, he's quoting from what he would have known as a Jewish rabbi in that period from the Old Testament. The devil, at a later time, it says, the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, to you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours. And Jesus answered to him, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. So here again we have a new place where Jesus has been led to. An action that's been given, worship me this time. And Jesus then turns to Scripture. Finally, the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus this time answers him again with Scripture saying, do not put the Lord your God to the test. It's interesting that here not only do we have Jesus quoting some scripture, but the devil even tries to use some scripture here to persuade him. So we have this time of Jesus in the wilderness, these three temptations, and each time Jesus responds by turning to God's word. Finally, it says, when the devil had finished every test, when finally given up on this, departed from him until an opportune time. It's kind of like a cliffhanger ending right there. But what that opportune time is pointing to is what we're all going towards during this season of Lent, is this journey of ours to the cross, this journey that we go towards Jerusalem, where the crucifixion happened. Now, I said pay attention to some of those places and times as we were going through there. If you'll notice, we have this sort of progression, this journey throughout these different temptations. We have Jesus starting at the Jordan, moving into the wilderness, then being led to the kingdoms of the world, and then finally to the temple at Jerusalem. It's very similar to how it actually played out, except for it was a different one trying to lead him along during it. So this whole story is actually, it kind of parallels what happened in Jesus' actual life as he was baptized, went into the wilderness, went out to all people to minister to them through his ministry and his time on earth, and eventually going towards the cross in Jerusalem, only with a much different ending than what he was tempted with. In these three temptations, we see the different things that Jesus ended up giving up during this 40 days that he spent in the wilderness. Jesus gave up wealth in the form of food to eat. Jesus gave up status when he was offered authority and glory from the nations. Jesus gave up power and protection from death when he was told to jump from the temple. Jesus gave up these things by choosing to act in a different way than some had called him, and instead turned to how Scripture was calling him to act. I think we find ourselves on a similar journey in this time of Lent, where there are temptations that come at us, and we have this time to take a step back, to draw into God's word, to lean more onto God, and ask ourselves, what are we giving up? What are we willing to give up as a church, as individuals? And I think this is something that we all need to take time to reflect upon, not just because it's a hokey tradition that, hey, Pastor Zach's going to get up there and ask you, what are you giving up for Lent? Just say chocolate. No, it's something deeper than that. It's not just something that physically happens to us. It's something that we are spiritually dealing with, not just during the season of Lent, but throughout our lives. I wrote this week that whenever we choose a particular action, there is something else that we are necessarily giving up. We are people living in a finite world. We only have so many hours in the day. We only have so much energy to invest in people and so much effort to put into our work. And we have to pick and choose what we do with our time. And inevitably, there is something that we give up when we pick to go do a certain action or go and pick a certain person to be with during that day. When we choose to be at work, if we're by ourselves, we know we're giving up time with family. If we're with family, we know we're giving up time at work doing what we are called to do. It's a balance of all these things, but I want us to look at the scripture this morning and look at what did Christ give up and what did Jesus give up for the purpose that he did? What was there that he grabbed onto that he would give away such things as power and status and wealth? Because all those things sound nice. I mean, I wouldn't mind a little more money in the bank account, wouldn't mind a little more, you know, notoriety around town. That all seems well and good, but there was something that kept Jesus away from those things to say, no, I'm going to give that up. And the question is then, what did he give up those things for? What are we giving up for Lent then? And how can we know what to give up for Lent? One thing I found helpful in my studies preparing for this week was this origin of Lent, the actual place where the word came from. It comes from an Anglo-Saxon word, Linston. I hope I'm saying that right. It means spring. Not the season, but the source of, like a source of water that comes up out of the earth, a spring. Lent is the holy spring of the church. That imagery of water connects with baptism, but it also connects with this idea of in the ancient world, in the years surrounding Jesus' ministry, there was this idea that springs had these healing properties. You might remember the story of the man laying next to a spring, and he was on his mat, and when a certain time of day came around, people would run into the spring to be healed. There's this idea that springs are a source of healing, and for us, I hope that we'll come to see Lent as a source of healing in our lives. So many times I feel like take on spiritual disciplines or we take on spiritual disciplines and they almost become a burden to us where you get a couple weeks into, hey, maybe it's your New Year's resolution or a couple weeks into your Lenten resolution and you are feeling like, I'm not going to make it through this. This is just too much. I should not have given up what I gave up. Because I'm famished. And it almost becomes a burden to us. Sometimes that can even transform into something negative, where we're almost punishing ourselves going through that. And we see it as punishment. We see it as a sort of way to chastise ourselves or punish ourselves out of shame or whatever it may be. But this Lenten season is supposed to create for us a time and a space where these spiritual practices that we take on are not some form of punishment, but rather they are practices that might be sources of healing in our lives. They're not something that is meant to take joy away from you. You're not giving up your joy during this season, but rather, I hope you'll come to a place where you can look at this practice of giving something up for Lent as a way of getting rid or putting aside those things that get in the way of your joy, that get in the way of living the life that we truly want to live as people that follow Christ. As we give things up, I want to leave you with this. That Christ gave up those things in the wilderness, wealth and power and status. And ultimately, Christ gave himself up for us. That's why he did those things. That's the why. Christ wanted us to be in relationship with each other, with one another, and with God. And that is why Christ gave up those things. I hope that we will be invited then during this 40-day season to evaluate what we need to give up to truly be present with one another, to truly be together in community, and to truly connect to God in a way that is not so much a burden as something that gives us life and gives us joy throughout this season. During this season, it's my prayer for us that we will come to realize that giving up is to gain, that fasting is to be filled, and that dying is so that we might live. Amen.